Welcome to the Beef Watch Podcast. I'm Aaron Berger, a Nebraska Extension educator. For today's Beef Watch Podcast, we're going to discuss an article from the March issue of the Beef Watch newsletter titled Understanding and Preventing Calf Scours. To have a conversation about this, I'm joined today by Dr. Lindsay Wachter-Mead, who's Nebraska Extension educator, as well as Nebraska's Beef Quality Assurance Coordinator. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Aaron.
Lindsay, today we want to focus on understanding and preventing calf scours, and there's a number of factors that can contribute to this that you highlight in the article. Help us understand things that we can do from a management perspective to reduce the risk of scours.
Yeah, so I think the word management is probably key in this because a lot of the scours can be kind of not gone away essentially, but we can definitely control a lot of that issue with our management properties. And so what that means is thinking about like where those calves are born and where they're spending those first 30 days or so of their life, because that's usually when we're going to see those major scour outbreaks, especially if you've had a problem in the past. It's usually in that first 30 day or so of life. And so the way that that happens, and even regardless of where you calve, what happens is cows have been exposed to all different kinds of things. And so, you know, different kinds of bugs is what I'll call them. And so, you know, like bacterias and viruses and parasites, things that could potentially cause disease in a younger calf, but we don't see it in those cows because their immune system is strong enough and they don't necessarily are going to show us any signs. However, they still are shedding those bugs and they'll shed those like through their feces and they could be living in the environment. And so when you have a lot of calves that are born into that environment, there is a potential to have what's called a pathogen load. So just think about that being a lot of those different viruses or bacteria living in that area. And so as more calves are born, that pathogen load increases, more cattle are in the area, more calves are there, and they just keep shedding it until we get to a point where there's just too many. And it's almost, think of it like a seesaw. So there's just too many of these pathogens for their young, naive immune system to be able to fight off. And then we end up with a scours outbreak. And so you really want to think about ways to, how can we reduce that pathogen load? And that's kind of what I talked about a few things in the article about.
So give us kind of some perspective on what are some of those practices, because there are some simple things, but they do require some planning.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess gold standard would be when we talk about the Sandhills calving method, and what that method is essentially we're trying to do two things. One, we're trying to keep the calves about the same age together. And so again, like as I talked about, when you get more babies in an area, you might have a 30-day-old calf and a newborn calf, and the older calf has maybe been exposed to those, but hasn't been enough to get sick. But by the time you get to down to a newborn calf, there's just too many of those pathogens. And so if we can kind of lump groups of calves together, maybe about 10 days, so they're all about within the same 10-day birth date, that would be the first idea. And then the second idea is that we're trying to recreate the calving environment every 10, 15 days. And so we want them to calve in a potentially clean and clean, air quote, clean, you know, area where they just haven't seen calves in like the last year or so. So a place that hasn't had anybody on it. And so the best way to do it is if you had thousands of acres of grass and you have the ability to split them up into paddocks and they can just kind of calve out as needed and you move out the cows that haven't calved yet. So you would have them all together and then you would, instead of pairing out, you're going to heavy out is what we would call it. And you'd move that mama cow to a new area so they could calve in the next group and so on and so forth. You can recreate this though. You don't have to have, you know, a really large area to be able to do it. You just have to kind of, like you had said earlier, have that planning. And so do you have the space to maybe even split even a dry lot situation up where maybe you can separate it into even as much as just two different groups? And this again goes back to pre-planning all the way back to maybe even preg checking time. So we know that maybe some groups of your cows might not calve until a little bit later. So can we put that later calving group together in a different area just to, again, split that up? We're really trying to dilute out the amount of animals in one spot so that we can, again, dilute out those pathogens or bugs that would be there.
As we think about designing something like this, can we have fence line contact or do we need to have some space between these groups?
No, I mean, fence line contact is okay. It becomes an issue if if it's just like a hot wire or something and calves are mingling. So, we know baby calves are curious and they can find wherever they want to get out. And so you're going to need something a little bit more stouter than that potentially, but nose to nose is not, you can have some issues with some spreading of that, but it's not going to necessarily do, it's going to be better than nothing, I guess, is the best way to put it. The other part about sandhills calving to remember is that they don't have to stay separate forever. And so once you get usually about to that 30-day mark, they can go back and co-mingle again. Like there's still going to be some pathogens that might cause an issue as they get a little older, especially things like coccidia, so parasites. But once we kind of get past that first month of age, then I'm okay with putting them back together as long as they've all reached that time frame.
If we're wondering what we have in terms of scours, is there a way to find out what the pathogen is that's triggering it?
Yeah. And that's a really important part to remember too. So I know that a lot of times it's you want to just reach for whatever you've had set up, and hopefully you have a good, relationship with your veterinarian and you've talked about that veterinary client patient relationship and you know what you might need if you do have an issue. But really the best way to know is truly what are you trying to deal with? And so there are diagnostic workups. I know that, the Nebraska Veterinary Diagnostic Center has a diarrhea or a scours panel that you can run. And sometimes it's as simple as just sending in a fecal sample. Always, if you lose calves, we always want to suggest that you're going to be necropsying them. And so that would be where we're going to take a look at those calves and see, what signs are we finding? Because there are some things that you can see, especially when we talk about sending in, pieces of the intestine or different types of the anatomy that pathologists can look at, because you can tell a lot just by looking at the different layers in the intestines and things to see what type of issue we're dealing with. And then once you know what it is, that obviously knowledge is key because it's going to help you create that treatment plan. And so, again, a lot of these could be viruses, and we know that antibiotics are what treat bacteria, but not necessarily viruses. And so, if we're dealing with something that maybe there's a vaccine that we can talk about for the cows, for the next year, it will really help you when you're setting up a preventative plan. When you're in that off season and you're not really trying to fight the fire if you're having a scours outbreak immediately, but you can kind of think about future and what you could potentially do to mitigate some of that risk.
Let's talk about the risk to humans who are caring for these animals that are scouring. What are some things we need to recognize in caring for them that we may not think about?
Yeah, so very, very important. And I'm glad you bring that up. So, a zoonotic disease is a disease that people can get from animals. And so, just like how calves get scours, people can get scours too, unfortunately. And it's not, some of it can be very, very severe. And so, things to think about. Number one rule of thumb, always remember that we are not going to be eating or drinking things around calves, especially if we've got sick calves or we're doctoring calves. And I'd take that even a step further to remember anything that you're going to like put your hands in your mouth. And so that would include, chewing tobacco, chapstick, if you have the type that you put on with your hands. So all those types of things we really want to be cautious about because it's transferred fecal oral. And so that means you get some sort of material on your hand. Even if you don't see it, you can potentially still get that in, if you touch around your face. And so we want to be really diligent about not eating or drinking. Gloves, I know sometimes that can be difficult to remember if you're in a hurry, but really that's an inexpensive, quick thing to do that can help protect you. And so I would always recommend that we have gloves around when you are dealing with calves, especially sick calves. And then your clothes. So your clothes can become a really big source of spread. So in all different types of things, when we're talking about just general biosecurity protocols, remember things like your coveralls, your coat, and your boots. And so I know a lot of guys, I mean, I think about my family too. We come in, we do chores twice a day. We come in, the shoes and the coats all go in the same spot and we come back out again. And so what I would recommend is that you make sure that you have a designated spot that's not near your other like clothing. So you should have a safe designated area to keep all your work clothes. Things like making sure that we're keeping boots clean, especially again, if you have a scour outbreak or something on your farm or ranch, that we are talking about different types of boot washes. So there are some disinfectants that you can get. Even if you just want to use soapy, warmer water, you want to try and keep those clean so that you're not tracking that through. through your house, or especially if you go somewhere else, you know, if you were going to like a bull sale, or if you were going to go to the sale barn or something, we don't want to be taking stuff out of the farm, but you also don't want to be bringing stuff back in. And so think about where you've been or where you will be going. And so you kind of isolate those types of materials and clothes and keep them out of the normal life, essentially the normal way of your house.
You mentioned wearing gloves, foot baths. As we think about also branding season and working calves, oftentimes we've got a lot of people working with animals, and there's going to be some that come through that may have scours. It's really important we think about some of this potential transmission there as well, because I think that often is a point where people are working and they're also sometimes eating while they're taking care of those cattle.
Yeah, I know. And I that is a big point. It's not just during calving. And I would argue with you that branding is probably one of those main times that we do see some of these zoonotic outbreaks in people. And so being extra diligent, I know that there's a lot of it's a lot of tradition and it's a lot of family time and you want to have a good time, but be a little extra cautious about making sure that you take a break to separate that. Like we don't You don't need to be eating a sandwich when you are have a calf in the tilt table or something like that, you know. So make sure that you're just a little extra cautious because an ounce of prevention truly could keep you from the hospital for a week. And so there are a lot. I actually just had a conversation during one of my calving workshops with a client last month about this exact situation, and it was his son that ended up getting cryptosporidium from a calf during a branding outbreak. And so they just didn't think about it, and they were just, you know, having a snack while they were doing it. And so those are the things just to remember that there's always the chance. And even if they're not really sick, you know, if you don't see a really sick calf come through, they still could potentially be shedding it. And we might not be able to see that immediately, but it could still be in the environment. And then the other part to remember too, just with anything, anytime you're dealing with any sort of animals, is that immunocompromised people, so children, pregnant women, older people, and then also, you know, if anybody has like a chronic condition, like those will all affect how well your immune system responds to it. And so you need to take extra precaution for those.
Anything else on this topic you'd like to highlight today?
Now, I think the biggest thing that that I would like you to take away, I guess, from reading it would be that planning is really the key. And so I know that especially now when we talk about we're in peak calving season, in my area for sure, and we deal with, you know, firefighting type things. And so if you're having a scours outbreak, it's really hard to think about next fall or what we can do. But remember those things. And so if you have good record, you know, keep good records, remember what you're doing now so that maybe if you have a little bit of downtime in the summer, we can kind of think about what a plan could be if you are having this concern, that we could maybe try to mitigate a little bit of that risk before we go into just a continual another calving season. There are ways to try to, you know, combat it. And I know that it's stressful right now, but just a little bit of planning will help with that too.
Well, for more information on the topic we discussed in today's Beef Watch podcast, you can find the article at beef.unl.edu. The title of the article, Understanding and Preventing Calf Scours.